Remember us? Well, we're back in pod form. It's the Football Sack Podcast.
The Football Sack Podcast, brought to you by Summerland Credit Union. Go to summerland.com.au for more info.
You're listening to the Football Sack Podcast. I'm Jack Quigley. With me, as always, is my co-host, Pat Flaherty. Welcome back, mate.
Thanks to you, mate. It's great to be back.
It is great to be back. What did you do in the off-season?
Anything interesting? Done a bit of training, you know.
Voice
classes.
Yeah, I joined a choir, actually.
Did you really?
Yeah.
No. Church choir?
Yeah, I just thought.
Did you go to band camp?
Mate, everything. It's rigorous, the off-season, for podcasters in the A-League.
I hope you stayed away from all the priests.
Can we say that? Let's move on really quickly. Let's talk about the A-League, where it's back. Crowds are big. Haircuts are bad. Dead ball specialists are very few in number, and the defending is woeful.
And Fox Sports hasn't updated their coach list.
Yes, that's right. Fox Sports graphic to put up the teams still has Jim Magilton coaching Melbourne Victory and John Van Skip coaching Melbourne Heart. Although, to be fair to Fox Sports, Melbourne are playing like they did under Magilton.
Yeah, exactly.
So easy mistake to make.
I think it's actually, is Magilton still coach with an Ange Postecoglou costume on?
Yeah, it's like a Men in Black thing going on.
Yeah.
Jim Magilton has killed Ange and he's wearing his skin like a suit.
Let's not make allegations here.
It's not as bad as your one. Let's talk about haircuts first of all.
Oh, there's some bad ones, isn't there?
The standard of haircuts has hit an all-time low for the Is it an all-time low?
I think it is close. An all-time low. Like, you see the AFL, all the boys have got these haircuts. Everyone copies them. NRL is the same thing.
Yeah.
Everyone copies their haircuts. Yep. I don't see anyone copying any of the A-League haircuts.
No. I've not walked past anyone in the street with a brusher.
No.
There's a few shockers out there. Trent McClenahan has a bad one. He's gone for the no-hair look. Never a great look for a young man.
It seems like the sideburns is out in the A-League.
Yeah.
There's no sideburns.
No, there's a distinct lack of sideburns, which is a shame because Michael Beacham...
he started it a few years ago.
He started the lack of sideburns.
Yeah.
We've said this before. Michael Beacham's haircut circa 2007-08.
Yeah.
It's around
against
there.
Argentina.
Yeah, against Argentina at the MCG. He had the same haircut, for anyone who watches The Simpsons, as... Who's the guy that he gets... is it Keith Hernandez?
No.
Don Mattingly.
Yeah, Don Mattingly.
Yeah, Don Mattingly, when Mr. Burns keeps yelling at him to shave off his sideburns, and he just shaves up the side of his head. Michael Beacham sported that for a while.
Now it's come back into vogue.
Yeah, so he'll be all over it again. Trendsetter.
Yeah.
5 years too early. Well, fashion is cyclical. It goes around in cycles. So,
yeah, it does.
You know, even if you miss the fashion, you're just 10 years ahead of the next time that it comes
around.
Any other bad haircuts you can think of? I can't off the top of my head. But there are some bad ones out there.
They're terrible.
Some absolute shockers. Let's talk about, on the topic of Trent McClenahan, central defensive partnerships. Sydney FC and Melbourne Victory.
Oh, mate.
Not good.
No. They're leaking goals and it's not good. Sydney got to have the worst defence in the league. McClenahan and Griffiths, worst central defensive pair, easily. Even if those two hanged out with Lance Armstrong, they wouldn't improve.
Armstrong's up too early. No, mate, it's bang on the money. It's topical. The Football Sack, topical. Yeah. they've been quite woeful. The only thing worse than their defending is Adam Griffith's personality. If you heard him interviewed, I said the other day, I thought I met Adam Griffiths once, but it turned out after 15 minutes I was talking to a lamppost.
Yeah, there's not much personality there.
No, there's not. His interview with Simon Hill, I think it was before the Jets game, and Simon Hill sort of saying, now you've gone into film directing, you directed the membership ad, you know, are you a budding Martin Scorsese? And the replies were, I wouldn't say that. Yeah, when looking forward to the game today. Yeah, obviously focused on the game. Yeah, it was awful. More A-League stuff that we should talk about. Dead ball specialists. We've been crying out for them.
Yep.
I think I found one.
Yep.
Wellington Phoenix. Vince Lea. Not new to the league by any stretch of the imagination. Last week against Melbourne Heart. Took a free kick. A one-man wall. Hit him. Got the rebound. Hit him again. He is a dead ball specialist in the sense that he will kill you if he is taking a dead ball.
Poor guy.
And that, I mean, you normally you put your hand up to go on the one-man wall knowing you're not going to get hit.
Yeah.
You're there just to mark where 10 yards from the ball is.
It reminds me of a YouTube video. You know how, like, you see people, they, like, do the flip and then they like, take the throw-in?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There was one guy. He was standing right in front of the guy that was about to take the throw-in. And old mate's done this flip. And he's thrown the ball. And he's thrown it straight to the guy's head. And he's, like, knocked down the ground. That'll teach you.
I have seen that, actually.
That's gold. It was gold.
That's great. That's up there with the funniest things on YouTube, along with that video you sent me of that guy taking a penalty where he hits the bar,
yep.
Drops to his knees, the keeper runs off celebrating the ball, when it eventually comes down from the stratosphere, lands and bounces back into the goal. Brilliant stuff. Talking about the Jets in the Sydney FC game wars, Emil Heskey.
Oh, yeah, one of the greats, isn't he? One of the EPL greats.
Robbie Slater called him world-class last week.
He's world-class.
Yeah.
I have a few stats to back this up.
Do you, really?
Yes, versus Messi, he comes up quite well.
Against, like, the best player in the world, Leo Messi.
Yeah, right. He comes up trumps. I think A-League have got a great player here.
Yeah, bargain.
Yes. Heskey has 61 caps for England. Messi has zero.
That's true.
That's very true. Heskey has scored 100 goals in the Premier League. Messi has never scored in it.
That is true. Is that all you got?
Emil's shots go out for throw-ins. Messi's don't.
That's not making him look good.
It does.
This is by far the worst segment we've ever had on this show.
Emil has played for more clubs than Messi, meaning he's more versatile.
Where are you getting these? Right, these are terrible.
Right,
I hope you realise this isn't going to make the cut. Let's move on, shall we?
Oh, come on, mate.
Let's talk about Brisbane Roar. Started the season in decent form. Obviously lost the way to Perth, but had a good win last week. I was at the game. It was a bit of a pummeling.
That was great. Five goals, a flair, pitch invasions.
Yeah, well, that's something I want to talk about is the pitch invasion. I saw the flair. Obviously, I've said on record before, anyone who throws a flair at a football game should, you know, get punched by everyone in attendance because you're an absolute knob.
At least he's not throwing grenades. Did you see that video?
Yeah, it was nuts. I don't know, Iran or something.
Poor bloke.
Yeah.
He got his hand blown off.
The pitch invader. I've rarely laughed harder than... Like, pitch invaders, I don't mind pitch invaders.
Mate, that's when you know it's summer.
Yeah.
Pitch invasions.
That's right.
You don't see that during the winter months.
No, that's right. Summer's here. Let's run around and...
Yeah, good times.
...distract everyone from the action. These guys were on the field.
Yep.
He got a fair bit ahead of steam up. He clearly had a couple of liqueurs before the game. He tried to do a cartwheel without it looking like he'd ever attempted a cartwheel before. He was like in this state where he just hoped that the skill would come to him if he wanted it bad enough. And he ran up and threw himself forward, planted his hands on the ground. Being an evening, a little bit dewy, his hands just slipped out away from him and his face went straight down the ground. It was one of the funniest things I've seen in a long time.
Was that better than the game?
Yeah, I'd say so. The other thing that annoyed me about that game, there's two more things that annoyed me about that game. One of them I found funny. Actually, both of them I found funny. We were sitting in front of this absolute knob who spent the entire first half going in and out of the tunnel and then asking the bloke sitting behind us, like, what they'd ordered. So he would come back and go, Jono, did you want mid-strength? Yeah. All right, no worries. And he'd go back out and then he'd come back and, like 2 or 3 minutes time and go, oh, they don't have sauce. Do you still want hot chips or do you want a pie? This bloke, he did say, I don't think he saw a minute of action the first half. Halftime whistle goes. Everyone gets up, goes, gets their beer and stuff. This bloke walks in with all the food, sits down. He got to enjoy the halftime break. Oh, it was fantastic entertainment. And the funniest part of all for the night for me was leaving the ground. Brisbane fans have got better. They used to be pretty terrible. Some of their chants were, we used to call them the Swimming Carnival Brigade because they'd stolen all their songs from that. Brisbane, clap, clap, clap was obviously the anthem that rocked the stadium quite a few times up there. They have got better.
Yep.
I'm not out to say criticise them. I thought the Den were really good last Saturday night. Leaving the ground, walking through the turnstiles on the way out, the guy behind me decides to go, ole, 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 ole. And Gabby, my partner, and I sort of thought, you know, what's he going to add to the rest of it? He didn't add to the rest of it. It just stopped. And there was this awkward sort of silence in the tunnel that we were walking through. And then he just tagged on, go the Raw. And then it sort of echoed. And then someone down the other end of the thing goes, go the Raw.
Wasn't inside going, Queenslander.
So, yeah, my worst chant of the season goes to that bloke, the Brisbane fan.
For... Now, since you're actually at the game, I've been watching games here. Since you're at the game, like, we watch games on TV and the crowds sound amazing. Like, it's like a great atmosphere. Is it actually like a real good atmosphere?
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, I can't speak highly enough of Brisbane public for the way 99.9% of the game they conducted themselves, bar one idiot who threw a flare and one guy went out on. It was like, it was probably the guy who did the pitch invasion that did the song, because it was the same way that he hadn't planned ahead how to do a cartwheel but hoped that it would come to him at the spur of the moment. This guy started a song thinking like it was freestyle rapping and he would just
maybe
make it up as he went
along.
Maybe
he thought you were going to join in or something.
Waiting for me to join in?
Yeah.
I don't know why he would think that.
Oh, neither do I. You don't have a great voice.
Me? Yeah. Mate, I was in the choir all summer. Well,
give
all
us a demo then.
No, I wasn't really in a choir. Let's talk.
Confujimus.
I'm better than you.
The people listening to the podcast don't know that we went to a Morris school.
Yeah, I know. And they might know that song.
They're going to wonder why you're singing in Latin.
I don't know.
So I'm glad that I've explained it to them. Mate, let's talk about Socceroos midweek. Crucial World Cup qualifying win over Iraq. Archie Thompson came out and gave everyone a blast, saying that the fact that they'd scraped across the line against a really shit team would shut a few mouths, put a few people in their places. He said that, you know, obviously people need to realise that, you know, it's, you know, they're not too old and they're putting in a big shift. And you know, do people realise how much effort it takes for him to play it in games that kick off at 8 o'clock, which is 3 or 4 hours after his normal bedtime?
Yeah.
And for him to have to go out there and score is a big effort. What'd you make of the game and the performance as a whole?
Well, actually, did you actually watch the game?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Did you wake up that early?
I did, yeah, unfortunately.
Actually, I turned on the TV and I actually thought it was a replay of an A-League game from last year because the crowd was amazing. It was a huge crowd.
Gold Coast United crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that... I think the Socceroos are very lucky there. They played the get-out-jail card, really.
Holger, in his staunch stance to always go mega-defensive and mega-old in his team selection against even really shit teams.
Yeah.
Even if we qualify for this World Cup, we're going to get trounced.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be Germany all over again.
Oh, exactly. Like, when he first became a coach, he was playing a nice attacking brand of football.
It was great. Asian Cup. It was fantastic.
And now he's just gone defensive.
Yeah, he's gone just mega ultra-conservative to try and get us to this World Cup just to get his bonus. And then we'll get thrashed. But, I mean, Tommy Orr came on, you know, touched the ball once, crossed a beautiful ball in for Thompson to score. Robbie Cruz was our best player on the night.
Yep.
Even chasing the game at 1-0 down, he kept the two holding midfielders on. One of which, Milo Jednak, I've not always been the biggest fan of.
Oh.
I think that's safe to say.
Yep.
And it was interesting for me. I have a Magic TV, and I can take anything Fox Sports does for any other program and put it into any program I want. So I actually put player cam on Milo Jednak
for the
game. Yeah, it was interesting, to say the least.
Yeah. What did we see?
Well, there was a period in the first half for about 20 minutes where he actually left the field and came back with a cup of tea and just sat there drinking it, and no one seemed to notice that he was gone. Mm. So I thought that was interesting and a strange tactical move from Holger just to let him go. But I don't think Holger knew he'd gone. He tends to wander off and everyone just kind of thinks, well, you know, Carl Valeri thinks, well, I'll do his job for... during the game anyway, I may as well just keep doing it when he's gone. He came back in the start of the second half. He actually spent 12 minutes in the centre circle making clover necklaces for Robbie Cruz.
Oh, yeah.
And he looked like he was enjoying himself. So he actually called over Lucas Neal to show him the necklace, which caused Lucas to be out of position for Iraq's goal. So Lucas copped a lot of flack for that, for being slow.
Mate, can I just stop you there?
Yeah.
You've got major problems. You actually watch this for this long.
Yeah, no, but it was good. It was better than Del Piero Cam. Del Piero Cam, he just sort of passed the ball, scored a goal, No one wants to see that. You want to see what Milo Jednak gets up to when the camera's not on him.
Yep.
You know, he took the shoelaces out of both his boots, tied them together, made a little jump rope. So it was entertaining to watch. That tired him out for a bit, though. So he took about a 20-minute nap throughout the second half in the center circle. He then woke up and decided to spin around in circles a lot to make himself dizzy.
Yep.
Then tried to do the jump rope again. And unfortunately, fell over being dizzy and got an ouchy knee, which Cavallari had to come over and kiss better. So it was an interesting night on Jednak's camp.
It was a great game. He had a great game. Plays player, wasn't he?
Oh, mate, he's secured his selection for the next 8 World Cup qualifying. He's the Mitchell Johnson of the Socceroos.
Yes.
Mitchell Johnson can be awful and bowl one good over, like after 3 years being awful, and he'll get a new Cricket Australia contract.
Yep.
Milo Jednak will misplace 84 passes, but then make a tackle.
Yeah.
And the coach just manages to see that for some reason and not send the passes. Does my head in, to say the least. Especially you got Bresciano sitting on the bench. He's been our best and most creative attacking player in our last half a dozen internationals, and he's sitting there while we play two holding midfielders trying to conjure up a goal against Iraq.
Yeah,
the might of Iraq.
I don't think you like Milo Jednak.
I'm not his biggest fan.
You know what's going to happen here?
What?
He's going to turn out to be the best player ever.
He's going to be a Holman.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
Who was the other guy we used to rip on?
Stojowski.
Him and broke old mate's leg against Netherlands.
Oh, Wilshere.
Wilshere.
Yeah, that's right.
He's ripping him.
He was terrible. And then he came terrible. On in a friendly against Holland before the 2006 World Cup. It totally unprovoked, almost snapped Robin van Persie's leg in half, and it was the turning point of his career.
Yep.
He's been great ever since then.
Yep.
So Mille, maybe that injury sustained the second half, falling over, playing jump rope, might, you know, spur him on,
Propel him into one of Australia's best.
Yeah, it won't. He's a dreadful player.
I bet it will. You watch. 3 years' time, you'll be our best player.
Oh, man, if he's still playing for Australia in 3 years' time, I give it away. I'll go support New Zealand. I've got a letter here. My sources have been able to locate a letter from Ben Buckley. Obviously, Ben Buckley moved out of FFA headquarters.
What's a go here? You got all these sources. I've got nothing.
Mate, contacts from the choir. In high places.
Oh, yeah.
David Gallop coming in. Managed to get my hands on Ben Buckley's resignation letter, which is quite interesting to read. I went through it. It's amazing when you read it how he stayed in the job for so long. We always sort of questioned that he didn't exactly know what he's doing.
It's amazing how his handwriting looks like yours.
It does. Amazing. But I'll go through it and we'll see what he has to say.
Okay.
Hello, I, Ben Buckley, wish to announce that I will be resigning from my position of CEO. Or is it chairman? I can never remember which one I am. Does the C in CEO stand for chairman anyway? I'd better take a week off to research that. Anyway, the past 6 years have been a real journey. Not for me personally, I rarely left Sydney. In fact, now that I think about it, I rarely even showed up for work here at the office. But I've heard people use the term journey before, so I thought I'd say it too. And after all, it's one of the traits of a good managing director of an organisation to be able to think on your feet like that. And that's why my position of Secretary Vice Treasurer will be so hard to fill.
Is there much for more to go, mate? Mate,
the bloke doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know what his job is. How about this? Everyone here at Soccer Australia, he calls it the wrong thing for it, he doesn't even know who his employer is, has been really good to me, and I wish them well. And I'll continue to follow the national team, the Wallabies, closely, as David Beckham is my favourite player. It doesn't make any sense
at all.
David
Beckham?
Yeah, the bloke's off on another planet. The Toyota A-League continues to go from strength to strength, and we remain fully committed to achieving our goal of an 8-team competition by 2013. And well, they're getting there.
He's done well.
Yeah. One thing is for sure. I'll never forget the atmosphere of those big games between Sydney FC and the Melbourne Demons. They're an AFL team. I don't know what
he was working for the AFL. I think he's a bit confused.
Yeah, that's obviously what it is. Poor thing. He probably needs a nap.
Yeah.
When I heard that my replacement as First Lady of the White House... on another planet this way, was to be David Gallop, I couldn't help but laugh. His name reminded me of a running horse named David. That is just immaturity at its absolute best. I laughed so hard I had to take a week off. That doesn't surprise me. Now that I'm thinking about it again, I'm starting to chuckle, and I'll never be able to refocus. I'd better take a half day. Oh, this is getting unbelievable. All the best for the future, signed, the departing Deputy Sheriff of FA, Ben Buckley. Well,
mate, I think he's been smoking something.
I don't think so. I think that that's his normal demeanor. That's the scary thing. But I think that it's safe to say we're all glad that he's on the way out.
Yeah. Well, the scary thing is they let him do the TV deal.
Yeah.
It's still there.
That's right. You're moving this guy on because of his incompetence.
Yeah.
You're moving in a bloke who's essentially put all the foundations in place for the NRL to cash in and get their massive TV deal.
Yeah.
Which is interesting considering Channel 9 are bankrupt. And you're going to not let him touch it. You're going to... No. Last thing we want this incompetent bloke to do is secure the financial security of the competition for the next 5 years.
You want me going to you, Jack, you're fired, mate, but I want you to nut out this deal for me. Would you be working your hardest?
Can I trust you to get the best deal for me before I can your ass?
For your cut.
That's exactly what it is. It's amazing. I don't actually know when he leaves. I don't think anyone does. I think it's a bit of a Yednak situation. He may have already left months ago. People just don't know where he is generally. But it'll be very, very interesting to see. Looking ahead to this weekend's games, we kick off tonight, Melbourne Victory against Adelaide United. Is the meltdown going to continue for Melbourne Victory?
I think so. They seem to be playing a weird type of football. They seem to be passing it out over the sidelines.
Yeah, not out through midfield.
No, through over the sidelines.
Not out from the back, but out of the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bit of that.
There's a lot of passes going to nobody. Yeah. Really have noticed that the first 2 weeks. So I don't know what their game plan
is. Bit of a boost to Melbourne Victory, though, before the game tonight. Danny Allsopp has retired.
Yeah, that's a great...
So that I said last week, watching the game, some of the mysteries of the world that we're never going to know. What came first, chicken or the egg, and how is Danny Allsopp still being paid to play professional football?
Whenever I've seen him play, he's been woeful.
Like, yeah, and he retired 4 days later, so I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, Danny, but the truth hurts. Real problems down there for Melbourne Victory defensively in terms of changing the style. The goalkeeper, Thomas, he's pathetic. He's a dreadful goalkeeper.
Come on, mate.
The game against Brisbane, they had two goals ruled offside. One that hit the bar that should have been an open goal tap in. It should have been 8-0. He didn't make a save. Every shot that Brisbane had went in the goal. He was coming out for crosses he was never going to get to. He wasn't strong enough to punch clear when he needed to be. And generally, I don't think he actually touched the ball apart from picking it out of his net half a dozen times.
Well, that's a clean sheet in his books.
Yeah.
He didn't make any mistakes.
No. Not one did he touch and it got in the goal. So, problems there. The other problem for Melbourne Victory involves some flying wildlife.
Oh, yes.
At Etihad.
What's doing there? Those bloody...
The seagulls.
Seagulls. It's not cricket season, mate.
It's not. Someone didn't give the seagulls the memo. Do you like the roof open or closed at Etihad?
I like it closed.
You like it closed? I like
just
it open.
Stop the birds from coming in, really.
Yeah, mostly, I prefer the roof open. I think if you close it, I don't know, you lose some sort of atmosphere in terms of actually being outside.
Yep.
But, the birds are a problem. That Melbourne Heart game, you couldn't see the players for the Seagulls in the second half. So.
Like, there was birds going, like, through the camera. You're getting scared. You're, like, flinching. Oh, crap, there's a bird coming at me. You couldn't see the ball.
I wasn't doing that.
I was. You couldn't see the ball because of the
What sort of TV do you have? You have a 3D TV, do you?
I do. Actually, I don't. I'm not that rich. Come on,
up into your house. Prediction for tonight, Adelaide, Melbourne. Which way are you going?
You got to go Adelaide, really.
Yeah, you do. More on the basis of Melbourne a bit of terrorists.
I can't see where they're going to get their goals from.
No. I think Archie back tonight?
I think so.
I think he's back. Flores is shaking off an ankle. Calf's problem to play against his former club. So I think it's attack, they might be okay. Marco Rojas is back, but it's defence.
I'm just looking forward to Musket on the sideline. He's a class act on the sideline.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't get angry.
No, not at all. He barely watches the game. he'll be off getting John Cosmina a coffee.
He needs to get fashion tips from Hayden Fox, really. I want to see Muscat on the sideline with a hat on.
It is unfortunate for us that we missed the start of the season and the
Hayden Fox thing has been talked about a little bit.
So we won't go over it, but safe to say that I think there was a little bit of pants wetting going on. We were laughing at Hayden Fox. I tell you what, the bloke has got a thick skin to dress like that 2 weeks in a row. After the fuck he copped the week before.
He doesn't have thick skins, mate. He's got burnt skin. That's why he's wearing a hat. And it's bloody 4 o'clock at night.
4 o'clock at night. Wasn't that late?
10 o'clock. Can we wipe that out?
No, that's in. That's in the highlights for the show. Putting that in the preview. Moving on, we've got the F3 Derby. The Jets playing host to the Mariners. Interesting game, this. I don't know which way it's going to go. I might sit on the fence and say a draw.
Yeah, well, I've really been impressed with the Central Coast Mariners this year.
I've been very underwhelmed.
One thing I have to ask you, what is a Mariner?
I think he's a fisherman, isn't he?
Is it?
Yeah,
there's a lot of fishermen there.
Well, the stadium's right next to the bay.
Ah.
Yeah, that's where they get it from. You can actually... It'll be interesting when Heskey plays there because he may kick a ball out of the stadium and hit an actual Mariner as opposed to Vince Lea taking a free kick and hitting a player Mariner. I'm going to go draw. Your thoughts?
Draw.
Right. Western Sydney against Sydney FC, the first Sydney derby, the one that everyone's calling the Sydney derby, the one that the A-League want to call something else. I can't even remember what they put a poll out earlier this week asking what we should call the Sydney derby. The general consensus was, why not just call it the Sydney Derby?
Yeah, well, that's a logical name for it, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems to fit. They've also, their campaign to get the Melbourne Derby changed to the Cappuccino Clash, get it a bit more trendy. I said maybe Western Sydney could go off Real Madrid and Barcelona and take the name El Clasico and use it to describe Parramatta Road and call it El Trafico. So,
well, they're just like Bulldogs, bro.
Bulldogs, bro.
Bulldogs, bro.
Like El Bulldogs, bro? Just because it ends with an O? Is that what you're going with there?
Oh, I've got nothing, mate.
Yeah, you do. That's a
dry
spot.
I didn't vote on that poll.
Undecided. It still amazes me. This is off topic. But it still amazes me the amount of people who will go in a poll, take the time out to give their opinion, and tick undecided. Yeah. Doesn't that amaze you?
It does.
People take the time out. It's like saying, I want the floor to tell you that I have no strong opinions on this topic. Amazes me the amount of people who do undecide. In terms of the actual game itself, I believe that the Hero Cam is on Shinji Ono this week. They're reviving it after it was widely ridiculed and panned last week.
What's the go with that Hero Cam?
It stays on the player the whole game.
Yes, but why do we want to watch them doing nothing for three quarters of the game?
Yeah. I can't help but think you'd be wondering what's going on in the game.
You need to bring back those glasses. Remember three eye or something?
Third eye.
Third eye, that's it.
Oh, the cricket ones.
Oh, they had them at... Didn't they have them at in the crowd?
Yeah, it was the Raw Cam, yeah.
Yeah, we need that. We need that back.
Yeah, third eye. No, we don't. That was in pod form. In pod form. Maybe we should bring back the third eye pod form.
Maybe Del Piero should wear them.
Yeah, Del Piero vision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
That would be good, actually.
Fox Sports have got this. Fox Sports listening to us? They should be listening to us right now.
I would assume so. For Australia's number one football podcast. Of course, they're going to be listening. Del Piero cam, didn't hit any great heights. Obviously, he scored, which is great, but cam didn't show the ball going in. It just showed him kicking it and then running away and showed him jogging around. Some of the highlights for you were doing up his drawstring as they came out for the second half. Yep. That was great.
Stretching. He was stretching.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, there's some good stretching going.
Yeah, I've got a few tips from that.
Bit of controversy though after the game as they followed him into the showers. There's now a lawsuit going on. Bit of an Andrew Eddinghouse situation. Following him in the showers, taking photos. He wasn't aware that Hero Cam stretched.
Mate, I really hope they don't go to Hero Cam with Heskey in the showers.
It's going to make every Australian
shame,
man.
Mate. You'll put us all to shame.
It's going to make every Australian man feel bad about himself.
Norma McLaughlin will be loving it. She'll slip over in there.
This podcast can't go to air. There's too much bad stuff. Predictions for the game. I think there'll be goals. I think Sydney can score. And I think that Sydney can't stop anyone else from scoring against them either. So my value bet for the weekend is both teams to score.
Is that your shoe-in for the week?
That is my lock of the week.
He actually is holding a lock right now.
I am, yeah. I'm going to take my shoe off here. I'm taking my shoe off. Just tap my foot against the microphone because that bet is my shoe-in of the week. Your thoughts on the game? Prediction at all? Do you have a view?
I think Sydney might get through here. They might come
Sydney
up with
gonna
a win.
Get a win?
Yeah, I do.
First win of the season?
Yep. I've got a good feeling about it. I think Del Piero will not score. someone else will score. How's that sound?
Your logic is flawed. They don't have many other good players, unfortunately, Sydney FC. That's what
I think McClenahan will score. How's that?
Mate, if McClenahan scores, I'll do the next podcast naked. That's not going to happen.
No, because no one can see that. Only I will. And that's a bad sight.
Yeah, that's right. That's only punishing you. We'll come up with something. If Trent McClenahan scores, we'll come up with something.
Yeah,
let's ask the viewers. Tweet us at the football sack. If you can think of a punishment or something I should do, name a charity or something that I can donate cash to or something. If Trent McClenahan scores this weekend, I'll do it. You can also email the show, info@thefootballsack.com. I wouldn't because we never read them.
Yeah.
If you tweet us, we might.
Do we even have an email? Do we have an email?
Yeah, we've had it the whole time. 2 years.
I didn't know this.
Yeah. Someone does read them. I don't. Tweet either at the football sack on Twitter or tweet us directly. You can tweet me at @Jack_Quigley or you can tweet Pat and get him past 40 followers.
Just look through Jack's friends and try to find me because I actually don't know my Twitter
thing. At Flardy P or something like that, isn't it?
Oh, Flardy _P.
That's it, yeah. Which is spelled FLAHERTY_P.
Yeah.
Follow me. Follow me. Can we get you above 50 followers for the weekend?
I hope so. That I'm pretty funny when I get on Twitter.
That's the thing. Football fans listening to this, if you follow the football sack, if you follow me, follow Pat because he tweets about twice a week, but it makes me laugh. And if you're listening to this show, you've obviously chosen to because you get our humour, which is not good. But Pat is putting more of it on Twitter.
Yep.
So get amongst it.
One thing we do have to mention is we've had a change of production area.
Oh, yeah. We're in our new location studios.
Jack's living room.
My living room. So apologies for any audio issues. We are recording with the microphones, etc., in my living room for a change. Yep. And it's quite hot today.
Mate, it is about 45 degrees in here. We would have close all the windows to, like, stop any noise from coming in?
Trying to keep the cicada.
Mate, stop air from coming in. I'm juicing up.
And on the topic of Pat juicing up, we might wrap up this week's show.
Oh, mate, it's about 900 degrees.
Yeah. You've been listening to the Football Sack Podcast. I've been your host, Jack Quigley. Pat Flaherty's been my co-host.
See you next week.
See you next week. All juiced up. Enjoy the A-League action. This has been the Friday show.
That was the Football Sack Podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with all of the football action across Australia.